Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, friends. Happy New Year. And welcome to this first new podcast of the new year. And we start the new year with a look at the state of America's media today. You know, the job of a reporter has never been easy, but Donald Trump has made it practically impossible. I mean, how do you cover a president who calls you the enemy of the people? How do you cover a president who never tells the truth? How do you cover a president who still insists he won an election that he actually lost by 7 million votes? Apparently, even Fox News isn't conservative enough for Donald Trump anymore. He now gets his rocks off on Newsmax and One American News. Nobody tracks the media better than our friends at Media Matters. Think of it this way. They watch Fox News, so we don't have to. And nobody at Media Matters drives Fox News crazier than today's guest. You hear him often on our podcast roundtable, senior Media Matters fellow Matt Gaetz. Hello, Matt Gaetz. Good to talk again. Nice to see you.
Good to see you, too. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Right. So, look, we've talked about this a long time, even back in the days of the old Bill Press radio show, when you used to spend a lot of time watching Fox and Friends in the morning and then watching Donald Trump's tweets, and did a whole report on the connection between Donald Trump's tweets and Fox and Friends. You know, like it was like one and the same. But it seems now that Donald Trump's media diet has changed somewhat, that there's some new voices that he's watching on the extreme right, namely One American Network and Newsmax, right?
Yes. You know, generally, I would say that it's a good idea to take in news from a lot of different sources. somehow, the president has managed to find some of the only news outlets that are less credible than the people who were already telling them what to do.
Well, who are these two networks? And are they getting any traction?
So Newsmax and One American News Network are both fringier, further right cable news networks. Both have been around for several years. Newsmax's TV stuff sort of comes out of a digital outlet that they had for many years before that. It's run by Christopher Ruddy, who you may remember from the Vince Foster conspiracy theories of the 90s. He was one of the primary players in pushing those, and he's the head of Newsmax. One American News is a more recent addition and has much lower ratings. Newsmax has significantly lower ratings than Fox News does historically, but they're at least in the Nielsen ratings. OAN isn't even in those. So they have reached very few people. But both of them have had a substantial boost in recent weeks from President Trump. President Trump has been enraged by some of Fox News's coverage of the election, specifically saying that he lost it. They have Fox has a professional decision desk that makes calls on particular states and on the election as a whole, and that decision desk called Arizona for Biden early on, and then called the election as a whole for Biden, back in early November. And that really pissed the president off. And so he started telling his supporters, you can't trust Fox News anymore. You should go watch OAN or Newsmax instead. And both of those networks have really leaned into this. They've been attacking Fox News as insufficiently supportive of the president, and they have been saying that Trump actually won the election. They've refused to call Biden the president-elect. And so you have, I think, the makings of a real competition here that, that Fox has not really experienced for years and years.
Right. Do they have enough reach in the country? I mean, are they on enough cable networks that they could even become, a real threat to Fox or anybody else?
Well, Newsmax is on enough television sets that it actually has seen pretty substantial ratings growth, including in an incident that really shocked a lot of observers. One of its programs actually beat Fox in the ratings back in December. And that had not been seen basically ever. And so, you know, both of them, I think, need a lot more resources to be like fully competitive against Fox News. They need to be able to get on more televisions to do that if the sort of objective is to become bigger than Fox News and displace it. On the other hand, I mean, both of them can sort of suck up enough viewers away from Fox to become sort of moderate players in their own right, even if they don't surpass the network. And so that, I think, sets off this kind of competition between the networks and forces Fox to sort of react to that.
So one thing certainly that OAN and Newsmax have done is they've given a platform to some of the wackiest people out there with the most bizarre conspiracy theories ever heard about what happened on November 3rd, right? I mean, Lynn Wood, Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, that's their base, right? I mean, they're open to them anytime they want to say anything they want.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't want to sort of underplay how Fox News has behaved. While the network has declared Biden the winner, they have spent a ton of time, you know, platforming these same people and so on and so forth. But yeah, I think OAN and Newsmax clearly have even lower standards than Fox does. There's really no mechanism whatsoever to try to over there to try to like find truth. They're basically taking the sort of conspiracy-minded rantings that you find on a Trump message board or on a blog like the Gateway Pundit, and just blasting it out to their audiences without really scrutinizing them in any way. And so, you know, it's I think, troubling that a larger swath of Republican voters are being exposed to this. And I certainly think it's troubling that the president is. These are just like not at all credible sources of information.
Well, it's sort of a chicken and the egg question, isn't it? I mean, are they echoing Donald Trump or is he echoing them?
I think in this case, they're echoing, or he's echoing them. I think that, you know, he's spending, I think, less time scrutinizing these like message boards and finding out the information for himself than sort of passively sitting and letting it wash over him from his television set. That's generally how he consumes information. And so I think in this case, obviously what he's doing is encouraging them to keep it up, encouraging them to, you know, find whatever conspiracy theory they can to justify the idea that somehow he is the winner of the election. And they're responding and doing it.
Right. One thing I want to point out is that it's not necessary that people watch OAN or Newsmax. If they go to MediaMatters.org, you do a good job of exposing their lies on a daily basis, and we thank you for doing that. I always used to say, you listen to Rush Limbaugh, so I don't have to, right? or watch Fox News.
The character of the stuff that we're being forced to watch so that other people don't have to is getting much worse. I've been doing this for 14 years, and it is a one-way street.
And as you pointed out just briefly, just to show how extreme these people are, OAN has said its official policy is not to identify Joe Biden as the president-elect.
Yeah, I mean, and they recognize that what they have going for them is the idea that they are more loyal to Trump than Fox News is. And so they're using this as a wedge issue, so to speak, as a way to siphon off some of Fox's market share by doing something that the network can't really on an institutional basis.
Right.
You know, I mean, the sort of one of the key facets here is the difference in the business model. I mean, Fox is a massive corporation that makes its money by being able to sell advertising. And it's harder to sell advertising to credible blue chip advertisers if you're like bananas propaganda craziness all of the time. OAN and Newsmax have an advantage of sorts because they don't need to be responsive to advertisers. They have like much lower level, you know, MyPillow and less credible advertisers to worry about who don't really care about the content. And so that allows them to have more freedom to do things like institutionally say that Joe Biden is not the president-elect without getting in trouble.
So I'm going to come back to Fox because neither you nor I want to say that suddenly Fox is a good guy in this business, right? I mean, but given the uptick in OAN and Newsmax, is Fox still a force?
Yes, I think Fox is still the paramount force in right-wing media as of now. And I think that that is unlikely to change. I don't think Newsmax or OAN are going to displace Fox. What I think is likely to happen, though, is, and what we've already seen, is that the network is responding to this pressure. They're trying to claw back that market share. So they're doing things like, you know, their news hours, which traditionally they've viewed as, they've said are independent, and you know, basically like a normal cable news network's programming, they've started injecting clips of the opinion hosts into those hours. And so, you know, America's Newsroom, the sort of three-hour morning news show that they have on every day, you know, will make their debates, that their sort of panel discussions revolve around something Sean Hannity or Tucker Carlson said the night before. That's something that the network really has not done before. And it seems like a very obvious response to this idea that the network is not loyal enough to Donald Trump. And so I think we'll see more of that. I think the network risks losing the ability to pick and choose from the fever swamps because they actually will have this sort of competition, right? If OAN and Newsmax are talking about a story and Fox isn't, that's okay if no one's actually watching Newsmax and OAN. But if more people are, then it looks like Fox is refusing to cover something that is credible. And that will cause the network to perhaps lose more of its viewers. And so I think that there's a real chance of a race to the bottom here, where the network kind of loses control and really needs to feed into feed out this sort of conspiracy theory stuff on a constant basis.
Well, clearly, Donald Trump, as you point out, they called Arizona and that pissed him off. But he had started to fall out of love with Fox long before that. Well, I never understood. What was his beef with Fox?
It's interesting. Yeah, he's done this pretty consistently for years and years. He watches more Fox News than basically anyone does, perhaps even more than I do, and I do this for a living. And so anytime he sees any sort of incident where the network falls short of pure obsequiousness, of pure propaganda, he gets incredibly angry about it.
Or if they have a guest on, right?
Part of what Fox does, part of their shtick is the idea that they have, you know, we report, you decide, we have this, they say they have this straight news division, right. And they produce programming that looks like a normal news network. They'll have panels with a Democrat and a Republican, and they'll go back and forth on the news of the day. He gets very angry when he sees the Democrat there. He wants to know why they're there. He doesn't want to see Democrats get interviewed on Fox News if they're Democratic politicians. He was particularly angry about the town halls that some Democratic presidential candidates did last year. And so when he sees that happen, he pushes back on the network and tries to compel them to to produce more of what he wants to see, which is, you know, everyone saying how great he is all the time and how bad all of his enemies are.
Right. So after Trump is gone, not soon enough as far as I'm concerned, but after he's gone, do OAN and Newsmax, you know, continue to have a life or a force behind them? Does Fox News survive? Where do you see the right-wing media landscape post-Trump in the White House?
I think it's going to be very interesting to watch. My going assumption right now is that Trump will leave the White House, but he will not go away. You know, he will continue to sort of push himself upon all of us.
Right.
On Twitter, in interviews, et cetera, et cetera. And he will continue to have to wield substantial influence over the Republican Party at large. I think we're seeing that right now as, you know, the Republican Party basically splits over whether or not to overthrow the results of the election and allow him to stay in office. And you see some key figures who are positioning themselves as future presidential candidates say, yes, the Trump should stay, basically.
Right.
I think that as long as he maintains that hold, he creates space for other conservative media outlets to say, we are more supportive of Trump than Fox News is, and try to peel off some supporters of the president and get them to stay, to get them to come over and watch their networks instead. And that in turn, I think, will fuel Fox News to respond by clutching the president a little closer as well, as we've seen them respond to this pressure over the last several weeks. So I think the conservative media will be messier. It'll be more fractured than it has been. I think Fox will remain the strongest outlet there, but will not have perhaps as much dominance as it did in years past. And he'll be able to, the president will be, President Trump will play the networks off against each other to try to create the best result for him.
Right. And as he's down at Mar-a-Lago, and you're certainly right, he's not going to go away. He'll continue to make whatever trouble he can. And he'll have the captive audience of these right-wing networks. Will the mainstream media, do you believe, still pay any attention to Donald Trump?
I think they will. I think less so, hopefully. I think there'll be less of an interest in sort of glomming onto his every tweet and claim. I think certainly I am not planning on spending all of my time determining whether former President Donald Trump's tweets are direct responses to what he has seen on Fox News in any particular morning. But I think that, you know, just as there is an impetus to cover things that Donald Trump says because he's the president of the United States, there will be one to cover things that he says because he's a former president and perhaps a future president of the United States. I mean, sure. He is certainly going to try to hold continue his hold on the Republican Party as much as possible, and I'm sure he's going to at least publicly consider the possibility of a comeback.
Right. What about which has often been talked about? The idea of a Trump network, now his own network, starting his own media empire. Now that he's got OAN and Newsmax, does that desire disappear? Or do you think that he might really try to do that?
I've always been pretty bearish on the Trump TV idea. It's a lot of work. And just really like doing lots of work. I mean, seriously, like starting a cable news network is a huge endeavor. It requires substantial capital, and it requires a lot of work. You've got to hire a lot of people. You've got to get your network on a lot of markets. And I just don't see him spending the time to do it or being able to line up the funds to do it. For that matter, I think you could see something sort of low level, something mm-hmm. that is monetizable but doesn't require as much effort as running an entire network. You could see some sort of streaming endeavor, maybe. He could start a podcast.
Welcome on board.
Yeah, right? I mean, podcast world. His shtick in his rallies and in his interviews is basically him riffing on whatever for, an hour or so. So I'm sure that there is a way to turn that into money. I think the easiest way to do it is probably the stage show. Like he could just, go to stadiums and do rallies for $50 a head, and probably do pretty well on that. But I'm pretty skeptical about the full cable news network idea. Also, he wants to be able to go talk to Sean Hannity, right? Like he wants to spend time with his buddies at Fox and Friends. And he's not going to put himself in a position where he can't do that.
Right. Okay. Matt Gaertz is our guest, a senior fellow at the Media Matters for America, talking about the state of the media today, particularly the right-wing media. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back. Lots more to talk about with Matt Gaertz here on the Bill Press Pod. Today's podcast with Matt Gaertz of Media Matters brought to you by the Laborers International Union of North America, or LIUNA, L-I-U-N-A, under the leadership of President Terry O'Sullivan. Over 500,000 strong, the Laborers Union, a real force in the American labor movement, covering construction workers, building everything from skyscrapers to foundations for buildings to infrastructure. Active in the energy field as well, building everything from solar panels to new windmills to pipelines, and active in the healthcare field as well. So we salute the members of the Laborers Union, thank them for their support of the Bill Press Pod, direct you to their website at liuna.org.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back. We're talking media landscape in America in the age of Trump and what it might look like post age of Trump. Matt Gaertz are joining us from Media Matters for America. So, Matt, before we move on from Donald Trump, he might have been surprised recently by treatment he'd received. He wasn't happy with treatment he received maybe from Fox News. He certainly was not happy with treatment he's received from The Wall Street Journal and The New York Post, both of whom have been consistent supporters of his, but both of whom, under the leadership of Rupert Murdoch, came out and said, hey, this election's over, you should recognize it and move on. What's that tell us?
And I think the way that these tea leaves tend to be interpreted is that the editorial boards of the New York Post and especially the Wall Street Journal are more mouthpieces for Murdoch directly than Fox News is. That Fox News is more fractured. It has all these different hosts, and there's a sort of a difficulty in getting them on his page necessarily in the same way.
Right.
And so, yeah, it does seem to be an attempt to say, like, you know, here's the hook, you leave the stage. And the New York Post in particular is known as the news outlet that Donald Trump himself actually reads and pays attention to.
Right.
And so, you know, you see at least the attempt by those outlets to get him to give up. Certainly he doesn't seem to be listening. You know,
correct. But
they perhaps, you know, after, they seem to be saying at this point, oh, well, after, you know, endorsing him twice and supporting him throughout his entire administration, oh, we've massively misjudged his character. How could this have happened?
But is this, do you think, does it have Rupert Murdoch's fingerprints all over it? I mean, has Murdoch basically had it with Donald Trump?
I don't know. I mean, it could be Murdoch having it with Donald Trump. It could be the members of the editorial boards themselves having it with Donald Trump. I mean, what he's doing is pretty crazy. And
yeah.
So you would expect some marginal decrease in support somewhere. Like this is the thing you would hope for, frankly, that he could finally have gone so far that even his ardent supporters start to back off.
Right. So back to Fox News, you at Media Matters just awarded a big prize to Fox News, identifying Fox News as the misinformer of the year 2020 because of the role they've played in the COVID coronavirus pandemic.
Yes.
Why?
I mean, you know, Media Matters has never awarded the network as a whole Misinformer of the Year. We've given it to particular hosts and particular executives there. But this year, we thought that all of Fox News deserved it. I think it's quite obvious that the network's coverage of coronavirus and the way the president absorbed it and turned it into federal policy got a lot of Americans killed last year and continues to get a lot of Americans killed. You know, with hundreds of thousands dead from COVID-19 and Fox News continuing this drumbeat that the virus is not so bad, that the responses to it have been overwrought, that the real problem is the cure, not the virus. We thought it was important and necessary to lay down that marker.
And you cite 13,551 different occasions on which Fox News downplayed the seriousness of the pandemic.
Yeah, that's our estimate based on a thorough review of a week of the network's coverage, and then we sort of did the math based on the number of segments that it has done over the course of the year.
Of course, they're the first ones that gave a platform also to Scott Atlas, correct? Who became then Trump's leading negative voice about, again, how serious the pandemic was.
Yes. I mean, you know, I've been talking about this Trump-Fox feedback loop for several years now, since October 2017 was when I first started studying it. And last year was the year that it really became a crisis for the country. The president picked an advisor to the coronavirus task force for the White House because he liked the guy's Fox News appearances. Like, he thought that he made a good case on his television about how the virus wasn't so bad. And so he decided to give him real power. He was woefully unqualified for that position. Scott Atlas is not an epidemiologist. He's not an expert in infectious diseases. He's a radiologist who has, you know, spent time at a conservative think tank talking about how great, you know, private sector healthcare is. And so they put him, gave him a position of real power. He pushed out all of the actual experts, like Dr. Fauci, and replaced them in the sort of president and vice president's confidence, and pushed this idea of herd immunity. The best thing we could do was infect as many Americans as possible with the virus, and that that would be the best way through. And that's what we basically did. And a lot of people are dead. A lot of people are dead.
So, I mean, I hear you saying, and Media Matters saying, that Fox News can be held responsible for whatever number, countless American deaths as a result of COVID-19.
I think we'll never know precisely how many Americans would have lived if not for Fox News's pernicious influence, but both by directly telling their viewers not to wear masks, not to worry about social distancing, not to follow the advice of health professionals, and by convincing the president that that was the best strategy and getting him to revolve federal policy around fake drugs that don't work to stop the virus, that it absolutely got Americans killed.
Just as an aside here, speaking of Scott Atlas, have you done a count at Media Matters about, I think about John Bolton also, about how many people made the move, direct move from Fox News appearances to the Trump White House?
I think the count was about 20.
Really?
20 people who had worked for Fox News at one point and then at sure. some point moved to the Trump administration. I think there's about right. 9 or 10 still there. But yeah, I mean, it was the network became entwined with the Trump administration. The president liked hiring people basically with an interview process dictated by Fox News appearances. And we're seeing the results right now.
Right. So finally, I want to get up to maybe the 30,000-foot level with you. I just saw the other day a recent Gallup survey that looked at the trust the American people have in the mass media and how that has changed over the last 4 years. Today, among Republicans, 10% trust the media. That was as high as 30-40% under President Bush or President Obama. After 4 years of Donald Trump, 10% of Republicans, 73% of Democrats trust the mass media, 36%, by the way, of independents. 10% of Republicans so trust the mass media. I guess you'd have to conclude, Matt, that calling the media fake news and the enemy of the American people has worked for Donald Trump.
Absolutely. I mean, it was a very specific and deliberate strategy by Trump. You know, Bannon, I think, played a big role in it as well. This idea of branding the press as the enemy of the people, getting the president's supporters not to pay any mind to them, no matter what they reported, no matter how bad it was. I think we see the results now, and it's, I think, quite unfortunate for Republicans and conservatives, because the media that they've lifted up in place of the mainstream media are telling them that actually Donald Trump won the election and that they don't need to worry about the global pandemic. I think there was conservatives conservative leaders have responsibility for what they've done here. They really managed to convince their supporters not to believe the mainstream press, and the right-wing press has been an absolute abomination for the last several years. And so, you know, it's going to be really tough, I think, to try to unwind some of the damage that's been done in that way. I don't know if it's possible. One other thing I'd say, though, is that 70% among Democrats is probably a bubble, too. And I think that mainstream journalists should you know, consider that a little bit more. Increasingly, because of the fall of support among conservatives, their audience is much more liberal. Their audience is much more concentrated among Democrats. And that might not maintain over the long haul.
So what is the challenge then for the mainstream media, as you see it, entering the post-Trump era?
I mean, I think the challenge from a business standpoint is how you keep those Democratic readers and viewers that you have willing to continue to subscribe to your products. On a sort of broad capitalist standpoint, that's going to be the problem they have. I mean, the media has been absolutely decimated over the last couple of decades. We've seen thousands and thousands of job losses, thousands of newspapers closed down. I think part of what is motivating that fall in support among Republicans and independents in support for the media is that dissolution of local news media. That now your impression of what a journalist is the, you know, the big stars on cable news, not, right, you know, your local newspapermen who, had some access to your actual community. Yeah. And so I think that it could be some pretty tough times for the mainstream media over the next few years.
Can they earn that trust back, that trust of the American people across the board?
I don't know about across the board. I mean, I think that if they are diligent and if they are willing to, accurately depict the world around them, and that's all you can really ask them to do, they can hold on to people who are interested in an accurate depiction of the world around them. But increasingly, that's not conservatives, and that's not Republicans. And so trying to grasp back that audience is a really tough sell. I think what Trump and other members of his party have trained their voters to think is that if the media outlet isn't supportive of Trump, then it's being dishonest. Yeah. And it's just really, really hard to claw that back.
You know, as a talk radio host, I have to say in closing, this is a pet peeve of mine, but I trace it all back to Ronald Reagan getting rid of the fairness doctrine. I mean, there was a time when media outlets had to like, talk radio, where I was working at the time, had to show different points of view and had to have a basically balanced lineup of opinions. And after the Fairness Doctrine went, it became all right wing or all left wing. And then people gravitated in that direction and didn't want to hear anything else. Maybe I'm overstating the the impacts of the Fairness Doctrine, but I do think it had a lot to do with it. Is that fair?
I mean, I think that one thing that certainly happened is because of the dissolution of the Fairness Doctrine, you did see people like Rush Limbaugh attract substantial numbers of listeners.
Absolutely.
And it was a real marketplace for that. And that paved the way for Fox News and all right. other outlets. So to that extent, yeah, I think that's that makes a lot of sense.
All right. Well, good to start off the new year with a look at where we are in terms of the right-wing media and the mainstream media, again, and the great work of Media Matters for America. Thank you, Matt Gerst, so much. And people follow you at, first of all, mediamatters.org, and on Twitter, follow you.
At Matt Gerst. G-E-R-T-Z.
Easy. Matt Gerst, G-E-R-T-Z. Thanks, Matt. Happy New Year. Thanks again.
Happy New Year to you, too. Take care.
And that's it for today's podcast with Matt Gerst of Media Matters. We'll be back on Friday with this week's roundtable. Meanwhile, stay strong, stay safe, and don't forget to subscribe to the Bill Press Pod if you haven't already done so. I know I remind you all the time, but it's so important. We want you to be a member of the team. It helps us grow the podcast. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, just pull up Bill Press Pod, click on subscribe, and you are in. Again, thanks for joining us. Happy New Year. We'll see you on the next edition of the Bill Press Pod.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.